Hi, this is Donna with the Waldorf Connection, and welcome to the Waldorf Homeschool U class on planning. So this might be one of the classes where you've been like, okay, this is what I'm ready to hear. I want to, you know, hear all about planning because, you know, there are a lot of components when it comes to homeschooling, but planning is really, you know, kind of one of those foundational pieces as we talked about rhythm and the pillars and the foundation. And, you know, planning is really your foundation. And it could seem, you know, kind of overwhelming, and I don't really know where to start and this whole thing. So I'm going to kind of break it down here for you in a couple different ways. And I want you to think of it, you know, sort of like this whole to part. So you may have heard this, you know, Rudolf Steiner recommends teaching things whole to part. And, you know, as in math, you know, teaching, you know, the whole number and then breaking up the little pieces. So, like, saying, you know, what is 20? Well, it's, you know, 2 times 10 and it's 5 times 4 and it's, and all this kind of thing. So we're going to take the whole, which is this big planning piece, and try to make it doable and try to make it in little pieces and little chunks for you so that, you know, it doesn't seem so overwhelming because really, you know, that's how you get anything done. You know, you don't sit down and just plan out, you know, oh, here I am, I'm going to do my whole homeschool plan. I mean, that, I guess you could do that, but I mean, I don't know how you could. It rarely happens that way, right? There's little bits and pieces and things that you work on. So let's talk about, you know, your yearly plan or your school year plan. The first thing that I recommend doing is, and yeah, I've heard this do a different way. You can use a calendar, you know, if you're online and like to use, like, you know, the Google Calendar, or maybe you've got another program that you use on your iPhone or something. I like to see something written out or something big enough when I'm doing planning that I can, you know, kind of look at it and change things around. So you can get a large sheet of paper or, you know, just a sheet of paper, and then you can label out, you know, the 12 months of the year, or if you just want to do, like, September through May or June or whatever, you know, you can do it either way. A lot of people do homeschool year-round, or whatever month that you're homeschooling. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere and you're doing, you know, the opposite, you know, whatever that would be. Whatever month that you plan to homeschool or need to, you know, put on your calendar. I do the whole year because I can put on there during the summer that it's planning time. And vacations and things. So that we're going to talk about that next. So the first thing I recommend is to put any time that you know you will not be homeschool. So, you know, holidays, vacations, you know, anything that you know, if you've got something coming up, a big family event, or, you know, that you know that's going to be happening during the year. Now, you may not always know this, you know, when you're doing your plan. But if you know that you always take, you know, a few weeks off in December or, you know, or whatever, if you're doing in the summer and you take some summertime off, if you have, you know, like a spring break or the holidays, whatever, you know, we're going to take some time off, then go ahead and mark that out. Because a lot of places, you know, there are stipulations for how many days or how many months you have to get in for your accountability for your school calendar. So we have to go with when we won't be schooling, so that you can kind of get a feel for when you have to start. You know, if you've got something going on in September, you'll be out of town on a trip or something, but you don't want to get behind, then you may want to start in August, a few weeks earlier than you normally would, to make up for those weeks that you'll be out of town or going to a wedding or, you know, whatever it might be. So the first thing is to kind of put down there what you know. And, you know, things will always come up. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, things change and things will come up. And, you know, there'll be times when you're like, you know, I can't wait, just can't homeschool today or whatever. But that's the beauty of homeschooling. And then, you know, we have weekends. So if, you know, if something comes up during the week or you get, like, really sick, if you get the flu for a week, of course, that's something you're not going to be able to, you know, predict. You know, that's the beauty of homeschooling and why you can juggle things around a little bit and, you know, do extras, do a little longer lessons or do on the weekends or, you know, cut down on the other vacation time you may have had. So that's the flexibility. Okay. So you probably have an idea if you want to school year-round. If you don't, you know, I know someone who does 3 weeks on and 1 week off. 3 weeks of homeschool, then she takes a week off. 3 weeks of homeschool, then she's year-round. So, you know, it can be done in many ways. And that's why I want to give you some different, you know, maybe you never consider doing it year-round. You know, we're sort of, if we grew up with this, you know, regular school calendar, and, you know, maybe you like that, and maybe it doesn't work for your family. Maybe it's really hard to get out of a rhythm during the summer. And I will tell you, it is hard, because to get back into that rhythm, again, takes a little bit of doing. So if you'd rather keep it going year-round and just do it that way, you know, depending, again, on your family and the support that you have, you know, and how you want to do it, you can experiment. You know, try doing it. If you don't like it all year-round, you can always go back or whatever. So I just want to kind of give you some, you know, thinking out of the box a little bit, that your school can look the way, you know, whatever way it wants to do. You know, of course, make sure you keep in mind any local, state, you know, restrictions or whatever you have, depending on where you are. They may say that you have to do so many days a week or whatever. I don't know. It's different in so many different places. So ours is just 180 days. So, you know, it doesn't really matter what days they are. It's just any day. It's 180 days. And I think a lot of them are that. So at least in the U.S., I don't know what it is overseas. And I'd love to hear, if you are in the place and you want to go ahead and post that on the forum, I'd love to hear that, if you know what your the regulations are for your home. And if you don't know, it might be a good idea for you to check it. You know, you can just really go to Google online, internet, and just, you know, wherever you are. So if you're Georgia homeschooling regulations, and it'll come up, or, you know, if you're in a different country or whatever, you've got to check your locale. Okay. So back to our calendar, we can put in there, you know, and then, of course, like I said, any holidays that you know you'll be taking some time off, then you may always, if you've got younger children, which I know a lot of you do, you may take a week off for festivals. And, you know, like Michaelmas at the end of September, you may want to just have a whole week of, you know, preparing for the festival. And, you know, and that could also count as school. It just depends. But if you want to actually get lessons, you know, done, you have to know that you may not get lessons done, or that will be incorporated into your, you know, into your lessons. I know in December we don't really get much main lesson done, or we do now, but in the earlier days it was all about baking and cooking and making, you know, and handwork, making gifts, and, you know, songs and stories. We didn't do a whole lot of main lessons during, you know, September because of all the festivals and, you know, Christmas and solstice and all of that. So it was less about that. So we don't have a lot of work show during those months in the earlier grades, but we did a lot, you know, during that time. So I still count that as school, but it may not be actual main lesson entries in your book. And that's okay. And that, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we kind of get into more of the content, because, it, you know, you can go out and work in a garden, you know, and that certainly is part of your main lesson, but it may not be showing up in a main lesson book. Unless you want to take pictures and have, like, a little journal, it would be a really good idea when you're not actually doing main lesson. What are you doing? You know, you could take pictures of what you're doing or drawings of what you're doing and put it in a separate notebook to keep up for accountability, because after a while you might say, wow, what were we doing? You know, oh, we were doing that. There's nothing in this main lesson book, you know, for the last few weeks. Oh, you know, you've been in the garden planting or farming or whatever you're doing, or house building. So I know we did take some pictures when the girls were, you know, building and that kind of thing, so that I had something to, you know, say, okay, yeah, here's what we were doing. All right. So you've got your plans here in front of you, at least the days, you know, the calendar set out, so you can kind of see. Now the next thing is to figure out, and if you're following it would be your block. So if you're following a curriculum, which probably you have some kind of curriculum, you know, at least as guidance. Some of them actually have a plan out, like, okay, September week one we do this, week two we do that. And if you have something that, you know, that planned out, then you may not have to do a whole lot. But I would still make my own plan up. Like, I would transfer what you've got, because I know the curriculum that I do has it mapped out by weeks and even by days. If I want to use it, I don't always follow it exactly, and I bring a lot of my own stuff in, but I will make my own plan up because there are other things that I want to bring into my plan as well. So maybe what I'm getting from my curriculum is just main lesson, and it pretty much is main lesson. It doesn't take into account the handwork project that we're working on that ties in with the main lesson. It doesn't take account of my circle time songs and recorder songs that we're learning. You know, if we're doing a foreign language, baking, you know, any of those other subjects that you're bringing in may not be included in that homeschool curriculum plan that you have, and you've got to look at that and see. A lot of the curriculum will just say, you know, will just be listed out by do the block on fables. You know, here's a block on fables, and it may give you the outline of what to do, but it doesn't say do it in October or do it, you know, or when to do it or how to break it up. So sometimes the blocks can be broken up. Sometimes it's a very long block, like, for instance, fairy tales. When I did it, you know, if you're doing the fairy tales, I wanted to do all of the letters. Well, that took us, you know, until the holidays, I want to say. And I could have split that up because a lot, most blocks are like 4 weeks, 3 weeks. It could go a little 5 weeks, 6 weeks, but mostly when you do those blocks, they fit into a 3 or 4 week time period. Because then it's time to kind of let that rest. I'll talk about main lesson blocks. I'll talk about it right now. You know, Steiner believed that having the, you know, having it set up in, okay, we're going to be working on all math for the next 3 or 4 weeks, or all language art, or all one subject, allowed the child, again, to focus fully on what they're doing, to absorb it and to really think math, 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 and really get it. You know, have time to digest instead of, you know, doing 12 different subjects in one day, a little bit every day, a little bit every day. He thought, kind of do it this way. And then when you're done with that lesson, not that you're not doing other things at the same time, but the main focus is that. So starting fairy tales, especially in the earlier grades, a lot of it is, you're not doing a ton of work anyway. So when I did the letters, I had it planned out that I was going to do it in the two separate blocks, that I was going to do, a form drawing block at the very beginning, just like a two-week form drawing block, and then move into the letters, and then have a math block. I think it was maybe 4 weeks of the letters, then math, and then letters. But as I was going through, I decided I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to do all of the letters and get them done so that we could move forward with the reading, and they would have all the tools they needed because they were really ready. They were old first graders, and they already kind of knew their letters because they had gone to a preschool when they were three, and surprisingly, they remembered some of that. So that was my judgment, and that's what I did for us, and that's what, you know, the beauty of homeschooling again. So you need to know how to move these blocks around and set them up in a way that it fits, you know, fits your life, and it also fits seasonally, because a lot of these things that we do in Waldorf are outside, and so that's another key. You wouldn't want to do a gardening block, you know, in January or February if you live in a place where it's snowing. So, or animals, you know, you do these nature stories, you know, really great to do in the spring when there's baby animals. You could go to farms and you could see the lambs and the chickens and, you know, that kind of a thing. Building, a lot of the blocks have a lot of outdoor, or could have outdoor, even like local geography. You know, you're going to see the places around you. So that's a key to keep in mind. And it's not something I can say, well, here's the way you need to set it up. You do a math block first, and you do this, and you do this, because it depends on your grade. It depends on where you live. But, you know, I can give you a few rules of thumb or things that have worked for me and things I have heard and have seen that work. A lot of time people do math in the winter, and I have found that because it's, like, too cold to go outside so try to get those subjects where you really have to be in during the time where you're in anyway. And you can really, I feel like January is a good time. It's like you're refocusing. You kind of have that break from the holidays, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to jump in and get serious and start thinking, I've got half a year done. I got to really move, you know, get things moving. And you kind of really get focused. So for me, it's worked really well to do a handwork project that, you know, requires knitting wool because it's very hot where I live. and I don't want to knit when it's 90 degrees outside. So taking into consideration where you live, you know, and if you're doing like a first grade block, again, you know, the letters and things, it's not that big of a deal. But, it, you know, for me, it was. I wanted to get through that whole block. Then I thought, they haven't done any math, you know, whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's great. It'll work out with the quality of numbers, and you can do all that in the wintertime, and it'll be just fine. And then I did Nature Stories in the early spring, and then we did the four processes towards the end of the year, and continued with, you know, the reading and things. So, and you know, it may change, but then sometimes if you have no idea, then you just look at it and say, okay, what do we want to do first? There's really, you know, there are some, you know, a sort of a structure to it. If you think of what I'm saying, like thinking about the outside and inside, what do you really want to do first? If there's something that coincides with a festival, like third grade when we did the Old Testament, you know, then I tried to do things around the time that we would have things going on, like Hanukkah, you know, and Passover. So I made sure we were doing the stories around the times of those holidays and festivals, because it just made sense. You know, why would we study it, you know, at a different time and then, you know, months later do Passover? I mean, you could, you know, it just depends. But, you know, to me it made sense to kind of group things together that would, you know, fit. I'm thinking second grade, you're doing fables, and then really can do that kind of anytime, and legends. And saints, again, perfect for all of the St. Valentine's and St. Patrick's Day and St. Nicholas. You know, so you may not get them all then, but, you know, if you can try to do, I mean, what's better to do St. Nicholas than around St. Nicholas Day? I mean, to do the story. So look at that, and that's why it's really important to start thinking about your content and have this in mind, you know, ahead of time. But what is the content? What, you know, be familiar with what your content is. So maybe I should back up a step there. And I did that call about spring planning, and I'll give you guys that call, just a little audio that I did about how to, you know, start in the spring looking through, you know, what am I going to be, what are the blocks, the main lesson blocks that I'll have to be covering in the upcoming year. And taking a look at getting familiar with knowing that you're doing the saints and the fables and the whatever, so that when it's time to plan, you go, oh, yeah, I'm doing saints. What days? Let's look at the calendar. Let's look at the holiday schedule. And what, you know, how can I figure that in? If you have no idea, then you're going to be like, I don't even know where to start. So being familiar, maybe that is really step one before even getting your calendar out, is to be familiar with the content. You don't have to know every detail, but at least be familiar with, you're doing Old Testament. You can read through some of that and start getting familiar with what these stories are about. And, you know, what is, you know, what will you be experiencing through those stories? Is it a lot about outside and that kind of thing? Or is it, you know, the animal stories and the nature stories? Oh, that will be perfect. We can go to the botanical gardens and you can do this and plan those farm trips when you're talking about the nature stories. So, and the math and different things, science, whatever, as you're, depending on what grade, you know, you're in, of course. So being familiar with what's happening will help you, and like I said, a lot of it will just start slotting into place, and before you know it, you've got this block over here and this block over here, and you've got sort of an outline, and then the rest you just kind of fill in. Okay, well, let's see, what am I missing? I still need fractions. Okay, that goes here, you know, and I can do that. It's a four-week block. I can stick it right in, you know, January. February is a little shorter month, so maybe we'll do this, you know, and it just becomes kind of a not really juggling, but, I mean, you just kind of look at it and say, you know, what kind of makes sense, and then you can move things around, you know, as we go a little bit deeper. But at first, it's just kind of, you know, kind of getting that plan, looking around what makes sense to you, you know, for your physical location, and what makes sense to tie in to what's happening with, you know, holidays, festivals, you know, and nature, times of year, and all of that, you know, that you're doing, like, the Native American, you know, you might be planning a trip to go to a reservation or something, and you would want to do that, you know, when you can, close, when you can, you know, can go visit and to do the stories at the same time, if it's possible. You know, may not be totally possible. And if you're doing more than one grade, another thing that has been recommended is that you do the same types of blocks, within each grade. So, for instance, what I mean is, in January, everybody gets a math block. If they're doing first grade, third grade, and fifth grade, everybody is doing math. So that you're not, you know, you're in a different mode when you're doing math than you might be when you're, you know, doing language arts and doing a lot of stories. So keeping it all in the same, so everybody's at least doing, you know, some kind of literature and stories versus language arts versus one's doing math, one's doing language arts, and one's doing science, and, you know, one, and you've got a toddler to boot. So that's another recommendation. I haven't had to deal with that since, you know, I've only got twins, so they're all just during the same grade. But that's another recommendation there just to help. You have to do more than one grade. Okay, so you might now, you know, if you've gotten to the point where you're kind of sketching things out, use pencil, by the way, so that you can erase. Now, I just don't want you to have to do it by the weeks. At this point, you were just kind of, you know, writing something for that month. But then the next step is to kind of go and do it by weeks. So if you have a big enough piece of paper or if you want to do it on a separate sheet, you can list each month and then week one, week two, week three, week four, week one, week two, week three, week four. Some have different months, but for the most part, they've got about 4 weeks. So that's when you start to get a little more detail. So, you know, and you may have a curriculum that has some of that, and then you can go to that curriculum and say, okay, well, let's look at the fables block. And there's been probably more than one fables block, if I remember. I think we did maybe three different fables blocks when we did it, kind of three-week blocks here, there, there. And also those trickster tales, really great. My kids love those, Anansi and some of those other, with those tales you can find from other lands. It's really cool. Okay, so the next part, like I said, is to start looking. So if you have a curriculum that has it laid out, you know, go to the book, you know, look and see how they have it, and you could pretty much transfer what they've got. Maybe week one, you know, here's here's the two fables you'll do this week. Here's the two fables you're doing. Or if you're just doing it on your own, creating your own, you can start checking out your books from the library, or if you've got a fables book at home, and start looking through. Okay, we're going to, you know, cover these, you know, these 4 weeks. Here are the fables that we're going to cover. You know, maybe you've got six fables to go, or eight fables for those 4 weeks, two a week that you want to cover. And then you start getting a little bit more detailed. Not real detailed, but you've at least got the basic story that you'll be doing, you know, for that. This is how I do it. You know, or if you're doing math or whatever, we're going to be talking about fractions. Okay, let's say fractions. That's my block. So the first week we're going to be, you know, what is a fraction? And then we, you know, and then the next one might be talking about denominator and numerator and denominator. You know, so I'm getting a little bit more. Then we're adding fractions, so common denominator, you know. And so you just, you know, it's not real detailed with actual lesson plan, but you've got the goal for that week, the subject that you're going to be, you know, dealing with. So, if you are doing it yourself, like I said, then you really have to be familiar with what stories are so that you can start to plug that in. And here's where, you know, the real planning starts to come into place. And, you know, I find that doing the very detailed planning, I usually do it over the summer. I usually have a good idea, you know, in the spring, what blocks are coming up. I'm familiar. I start to get some books from the library, or maybe I have some, you know, resources already that I've started to collect. And I just start reading through them, and I get a feel for the year and what I'm doing. And I talked about this in the other thing, but I'll bring a little bit. Because then as you go and start seeing things, oh, there's this great story that I'm going to be reading about the Norse myth. And I just came across this great recipe, you know, for that ties right in with that or whatever. And so then you start making I suggest some kind of an online folder as well as a physical note. I have a notebook, a three-ring binder that I use for my planning. I just use the same binder every year, and it's got the pockets, you know, the front pockets. And so if I find something online or I see something here, I make notes, start my own supplies list. What do I need to order, you know, for the upcoming year? We're out of paint. I got to get some more paint. Or I'm going to need main lesson books. I'm going to need this. And as I realize, I'm going to need, you know, depending on what you're doing, I'm going to need knitting needles and yarn because we're going to start to knit. You know, depending on what you're doing in that grade will dictate, you know, what you need to add to the list. But if you start ahead of time, looking, if you see a great verse that you love, oh, I just love that, that's going to go great, or a poem or a song, you know, you can bookmark it on your computer and you'll have it, or you can print it out if it's somewhere, or make a copy, or, you know, make a note from the library, this is an excellent book, I'll use this for my block on, you know, whatever, botany. And then when it comes time for your botany block, you can look and say, oh, yeah, what was that library book? You know, instead of trying to figure out what was the name of it, where was it, and, you know, and it's a lot of waste of time. So try to keep notations as you're going in the best way you can. Online bookmarking, I know I had this great poem I said in this other call that I loved, and I never found it again. I don't know what happened to it, and I was like, oh, it's very frustrating. And I spent a long time searching for it again instead of I had just bookmarked it. So having that stuff, when it comes time for planning, you'll already have some things that you've gathered. You know, maybe you've seen some blogs or, you know, there's so much stuff out there. You can look on Pinterest. That's a great resource that I've discovered on Pinterest that really gives you some pictures of things and ideas for what your main lesson books could look like, and chalkboard drawings, and there's verses and songs. Check out Pinterest. It's a really great resource that you may not have thought about. But it gives you real visuals there, and so you may, and they give a lot of recommendations of where it's come from. So that's another thing you can start, you know, start collecting these that you will need down the line. And then when it's time to go, oh yes, I can plug this right into my calendar. I wanted to make sure that I did this handwork project. Like I want to make a little, you know, knitted fox to go along with the fables when we do the fox and the grapes or whatever, you know, so that you've got, and there's my pattern. So it all starts to come together then when you start going in and putting the weekly lesson. I hope that's making sense. Okay, so you've got your weekly lesson filled in. And that does take a lot. This will really require you to sit down and take some time. So if you can have you know, an activity by yourself, I suggest try to block off a day if you can, or at least a few hours, because for me, it's like once I just get started, if I have to stop, it's like, oh, then I have to wait another, you know, it seems like it takes a while for my juices to start flowing and getting everything together, and when I lay all my books in front of me and time to plan, if I have to start and stop, it takes a lot longer for me. So if there's a way that you could, you know, take an afternoon, you know, on the weekend and have your husband or somebody take the kids, you know, to really get time in the summer, even like, you know, you could even take a weekend by yourself somewhere. I don't know if you could possibly do that. Be excellent. You know, go to the beach and plan your stuff. Anyway, it will take some time, and you will start juggling. And still, this is not like a finished thing. It's still very... you know, we're just still moving things around. We're adding, oh, that's not going to work there because I need two more extra weeks, you know, out of that, and that's going to run into the holidays. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of shuffling around. That's how it is for me. Shuffling around, that won't work there. Let's move it over here. And I start to get really excited when I see it coming together, and I start also to get excited when I start getting into the content. Oh, this is going to be really fun. And then once you've got your weeks planned, you know, again, not real detail, but you do have a structure there, then you can search a little more. And if you've got time, if you're doing this in the beginning of the summer, you've still got the whole summer. If something else comes along or you see something else while you're planning, kind of add right in, oh, that's a perfect recipe. That's a perfect song. That's a perfect field trip I can do that I never thought of before, you know, and I can add that right in to that week and make a note. Now, the weekly... your weekly plan, that is a little bit different, and I'll give you a copy of the weekly planner that I use. And believe me, I've tried different things, and you can there's all kinds of planners. And so you got to do what works for you. I do this thing because it's worked for me. And so if you want to take mine and change it, you can certainly do that because it's not much. I took someone else's and just tweaked some stuff on it. And you know, it depends how you want to do it. I use a three-ring notebook. I know a friend uses an Excel spreadsheet, and she has it all right there, her whole plan for the whole year. She can change and do what she wants. I like writing it out, and I like seeing it. And I used to have one for each day, like, you know, a different page in the notebook, but it was so much paper, and I found it was kind of wasteful. And then if we didn't get to what we wanted to do, that day. I had to just keep transferring it all over. So what I have is a weekly sheet. And on my weekly sheet, I have a big box at the top, and it lists out, you know, what's my main lesson, what am I working on, what's my form drawing for the week, what's my reporter song, what are our handwork projects, and all that. And I can kind of fill all that in. And then I just sort of have my goals for the week under that. Like, I want to make sure we do this story and this story, or this, you know, we're going to do this on fractions and this on fractions. And then below, I have 5 days. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Or, you know, I don't even have them listed like that. They're open, so, you know, it could be any day. But I do have, you know, 5 spaces there. And then I have a place for notes on the right at the top where I can make notes. Things I need to get, things I need to do, just little reminders as I'm going along. We need extra, you know, writing practice. I can make notes in the margin and go back. And so then I write out what I want to do for each day. And, you know, that's when I say, okay, we're going to read the story on page 39 of the Fables book. You know, I would be as specific as you can. And then I have, you can really go as far as drawing out. Some people have their own, like, main lesson book that they do ahead of time and have their drawings and everything already done. I don't usually do it ahead of time as far as, like, a chalkboard drawings and what drawings we're going to do, but... I have an idea what I want to do in my head, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, like weekend planning. So here's where you fill in a lot more of the details, the stories, the page the story's on, you know, and I have a separate circle time, like, you know, Word doc, if you will, where I write our main circle time stuff on, or what the way I used to do it, especially in the younger years. But then I still include circle time on my weekly plan, because, like, we do recorder on Monday. We don't do recorder every day. But on my Monday, I'll write recorder for circle time. If we do, you know, as you go along in the grades, like, we do a lot of spelling and mental math, times tables and things like that. So if I do those extra kind of main lesson-y things, I write it on, you know, that I really, this is what I want to concentrate this week in circle time, I add that to my, you know, my weekly thing. I don't write out every, you know, my circle time routine every day, because, you know, I have it on a separate thing. It would be too much to put on the paper, but I just say circle time, you know, and I know that's what we're doing. I'll be happy to give you an example, too. I'll show you what mine is. And then I go back. I don't always do it every day, but I, you know, a couple times a week. Then I write notes and I fill in, like, a check mark, or, and we added this. I make notes right on the paper. You know, we did this, we did this. Oh, we didn't get to this week. So I circle it, and then it goes on next week page. So I know I have to do that. If you have a curriculum you're following that really just follows out all the lessons, you know, you may not have to do anything except for lesson, you know, number 50, page 78 in the book. And then you turn to your other book, and that's where you are. So that you know. But then I think the thing that I like about it, and that's fine, but then what you can use your notebook for, or whatever planner you decide to use, is to bring in those extra things. It's the handwork project. Oh, we're baking, you know, the challah bread, you know, this week when we're doing the Jewish, you know, Old Testament, or, you know, adding those other things that may not be, maybe your main list has all of that, and if you are, that's great. If it doesn't, then you need to have a place to track and to plan all those other little things that you really want to do, or they won't get done. You know, the handwork projects that go along. Maybe I try to do, like, a monthly handwork project, or for each block. We don't always do that, and there's not always one going on. But with the girls are always crafting a lot, so I don't worry. We're doing beeswax and you know, your painting day, too. You want to make sure you add that. What day will you be doing your painting on the week? And then you put that in. What are you going to be painting? That's a place to add all those little specifics. So the weekly plans, this is how I do it. I, once a month, or, you know, before the month, the next month is coming, I take a look and say, okay, what's coming for next month so I can start looking. Maybe I have to get some supplies from the craft store, you know, if I'm out of yarn, or I need something here or there. Maybe there's something special that we're doing that I need to get. if there's anything I need to get. You don't have to always order all your supplies at the beginning of the year for the whole year. And I don't always recommend that. I mean, there may be some main things you need, set, pencils and crayons, but if there's special projects, you know, you can spread that out so it's not expensive and ordering one huge order, and just do it as you need it. You know, if you're not doing handwork until January, then you can wait, you know, and order your stuff in December or the beginning of January, for, you know, to get your needles and your yarn and all of that. So I take a look, okay, I've got, you know, the North Smith coming up, and what are my stories? Do I have all the books? Do I need to check a book from the library out that I need to have for them? Do they need, you know, what? I try to gather all my stuff that I'm going to need for that whole month block, or however long your block is, and get my supply. And then what I'll do is, in a perfect world, what I'll do is to really make sure that the whole, my weekly plan is all done up. If I didn't do it out at the beginning of the year, I sometimes don't do it all out like that specific until before the block. You can do it either way. And I recommend to try to get as much planning done as ahead of time as you possibly can and as detailed as you can. But for me, a lot of times I want to be a little more organic with it, and I want to kind of bring, well, where are we right now and what feels right here to bring in? So I have a basic structure, but then I want to bring in some other stuff. And that kind of comes with confidence, too. You know, in the beginning, I was very, very focused. I had all my stuff, and I followed the plan, and that was that. And so, you know, you can do it whatever way feels good for you, and you may not know. And it may change, like mine did, where I kind of lose it a little and, like, what kind of what inspiration flows to me flow. You know, that kind of thing. So, but, you know, at worst-case scenario, you have, you know, the next week, the following week's plan. And I usually take a look at it on Sunday. You could do it on Saturday. All right, what's actually coming up for this week? What do I need to know? Especially if you're doing the stories in the early years where you're telling the stories instead of having them read the stories. And that storytelling is a whole separate thing, really. I can't really get into all of that. I've got some audios on my website if you don't have some of the, you know, how to do storytelling and really be effective, because these are really amazing. And there was a lot of storytelling those early years. It's really all stories. You know, telling those fairy tales. And what fairy tales we'd be doing. You may have or may not have heard, you know, to read each story three times before you present it. First time you just read it through. The second time you kind of, you know, are digesting it. And the third time, kind of making notes, like a mental outline of the story. We're going to get a little bit more into that when we do presenting, but I'm just trying to give you a feel for what it's like on a weekly basis that you need to do, because, you know, you have to factor all of this time into your life and what and your planning. You don't want to spend, you know, your weeks planning and planning and planning. So if you want to do it all at once and get as detailed as possible, you know, do it in the summer, you know, or you could do it, you know, I try that, like, per month. That's really, for me, that's kind of what works, that I go, okay, this month we're going to do it, and I really flesh out, you know, the whole month, and then I've got my sheets for the whole month already done. You know, we don't always do it exactly that way, but at least it's planned, and I've got that. You know, we may add or change or subtract, but I've got the plans. I know which songs we're singing. I know which, you know, stories we're going to do. Paintings are going to go with what. I have a handwork project. I have the supplies, and I'm ready to go. And so then really Sunday just kind of, you know, looking, oh, glancing again, what is it that we're doing? And, you know, and once you kind of get into a routine with circle time, that becomes, you know, that'll become very comfortable, you know, after a few months if you're just getting started. And then circle time becomes a fun thing, and you don't really have to think a lot about it because you kind of do the same thing, the same verse, the same song. You may change it up for the seasons a little bit. And, you know, again, you don't have to have 45 minutes worth of stuff. It's 10 to 15 minutes in the younger years, really. And you don't have to change songs very often. The kids like consistency. It makes it easy for you. They're learning that song, and they know it, or that verse, and then they know it. So I would really not change. I did it just like seasonally, maybe throw in a holiday song here or there. I had three different circle times because we didn't really school in the summer, and it made it easy. You know, it was done, and then I didn't have to think about planning out circle time. It was all finished. And then I just had my little cheat sheet there that kind of said, here's what we do. And, you know, I always had a little bit extra than what I thought because sometimes the kids wanted more, and if we didn't, then we didn't have to, you know, do everything. Okay. Take a sip of water here. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, basically that's kind of planning, you know, taking good notes, making, you know, notes as you go along. For record keeping is important, or may or may not be important. It depends on where you live. There may be a place where you have to turn something in. It's always good to keep some kind of records, you know, just to say, here's what we're doing. You know, a lot of moms like to journal at the end of the day. You know, what did my child, you know, how did it go? What can I help them bring? What do they need help with? I try to do a quarterly, you know, kind of evaluation. How are things going? Are we behind? Are we ahead? Do I need to speed things up? Are they getting it? You know, and I kind of look and see how much do I have left and kind of gauge, you know. Then I do a halfway point. Okay, where am I? You know, again, but it's a little more in depth. Here's what we did the first semester, and I write it all out because by the end of the year, I cannot remember. And so I also start looking back at my homeschool goals, and I'll give you a sheet if you want, that at the beginning of the year, this is something I do with my planning, is I have a homeschool goal. What do I want for myself? What do I want for my homeschool? What do I want for each child? Where do I think they need? And I really think about that for a long time. It's not like I just sit down and do it. I may do one child, you know, and think about it this week, then the next week, you know, where are they struggling maybe a little? What do I think they need more practice with? What are their strengths that I could help build them, you know, help them bring that out more and build on that? What do they love to do? And so I really think of them as an individual and really see what, and so during my week, my quarterly check-in and my halfway check-in, I look at that. How am I doing with my goals? Is my goal to be on track and be a little more organized? How is that going? Am I hitting that, you know, kind of a thing? And, you know, you don't have to do that, but this is something I do for myself. I find that I get a lot out of it, and I think, oh, yeah, I was supposed to do this, and I haven't brought that in yet. I need to make sure I do that, you know, kind of a thing. It kind of reminds you where we are with the big picture. Sometimes we get really lost in the daily, you know, details and you know, pull back to the big picture again when you were first planning and what you wanted for yourself. Maybe it was more field trips and you realize you haven't done any field trips or not enough and you really want to get out of the house. I mean, it's homeschool. You should be able to, that's the beauty of it is to go see these things and to experience, you know, instead of just reading them through books. So, record keeping. So, yeah, so I do sort of an end of the semester, some, you know, summary. Here's what we've done so far. You know, here's what I really want to, you know, keep going with, or here's what I need to do for the next kind of thing. And then at the end of the year, I do another one. I do, you know, do it twice. And that way I have it in my records, you know, what we've, you know, it's not a long thing, but it just might be, you know, and you can do it for each child or each grade, however you want to do it. I do, kind of just for each grade because we're kind of doing the same thing. But then at the end of the year, I do kind of have a little summary of each child. You know, here's what, you know, kind of just here's what they've learned. Here's what I think was great. Here's what they could use for next year. So that helps, you know, in the following year's planning. I hope I'm not giving you too much here. But it really isn't bad if you have time and you can start doing these little pieces. That's what I recommend. Start by learning what's coming up. Start reading your fairy tales. Start reading the Old Testament. Start reading the fables and the saint stories. Which ones do you like? Which ones do you not like? Which ones do you think, oh, my gosh, this will be perfect for my child? You know, start making those notes. Start bookmarking, you know, and then a lot of the work will be done, and it's not stressed and you're not pushed upon. And you'll get a real feel for what's happening and what, you know, what where that whole atmosphere is. You know, what were for the following year. And then, you know, just do it a little at a time. Try not to slam yourself down, you know, in the last week of August to plan out your year. I do not recommend that at all. Very stressful. And if you have several grades to do, then, you know, you're going to need a little bit more time as well to kind of go through. And if you've never done it and you might be like, I don't know what to do, then, you know, give yourself the gift of time and time to change. Time to, you know, chat with others. You know, there's forums and things. You can come on our forum, and there's other forums around to get ideas. Like, I really, if you're in the middle of it, you may have questions. you know, when you're not here during this class, and you may have questions, what do I do? How do I find the answer? If you have time, you can reach out to friends and online other homeschooling moms and see what they have to say so you can get that help. But yeah, try to keep it relaxed and fun so that you're not so like, oh my God, overwhelmed and burned out before you've even started. Thanks. I certainly welcome your questions here. I know this is a lot to talk about. I'm going to try to, you know, give you some examples of things you can look at. And I've got a planning template which kind of goes through what I just said that you can keep in your notebook or wherever just to kind of glance at the kind of the steps that I just gave you, but, you know, not as detailed, but just kind of a summary. And that template, you could follow that template as you're going and planning. Okay, I did step one. Now I'm on to step two. And kind of keeps you moving through it to keep you going. Because it's really a process, and it's just, you know, taking a little bit of action, and just keep moving yourself forward. And then, you know, you will change. Things change throughout the year. Be flexible and be okay with that. And if you have to scrap the plan and say, this is not working, you know, I need to do something else, be okay with that. Because I have done that. I'm like, this is not what I thought, and I've got to change some stuff. And that's fine. I mean, that's the beauty of it. And don't just say, I'm going to stick to it because this is my plan. You know, if it's not working, just have that flexibility and say, even if we have to take 2 weeks off while I replan, you know, whatever you need to do, and redo and rethink, because you don't want to force it. You don't want it to be, you want it to be fun. You don't want it to be something that is a chore, and, you know, just like, and if you're following even a curriculum that you've bought that you don't like, well, I've invested in it, and I'm going to just stick with it. I mean, you know, you may have to do that, but maybe you could bring it in a different way, and we can talk about that when we get into presenting the material a little bit more. So, all right, well, I'm going to wrap up on planning. Please post your questions. I'd love to hear what else you need to know, and I'll be happy to answer all your questions on the forum. Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.